This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. So continuing our reading from the Hayat al-Qulub fi Ridha al-Mahbub, the discussion from yesterday about Al-Qahr al-Jabbari, the casting of seal on the hearts, which is at some point it becomes irreversible, and it destroys a person's ability to receive any benefit from wahi and from nubuwa, wal'iyadu billah, and how a person earns it. So today we will continue with this discussion from the Tafsir Jawahir al-Qur'an from Mawlana Hussein Ali rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, who will talk about a Qur'anic concept which is essentially the opposite of that Qahr Jabbari. And it is a concept known as Rabd. So Rabd, this is a Qur'anic terminology, and he will mention a couple of ayat in which this kayfiyah or condition of rabt on the heart is mentioned. But I want everyone to appreciate that this is also one of the reasons that this place is named Ribat, because rabt shares the same root as the word Ribat. So Mawlana in his tafsir begins, he says, Rabtul Qalb, or the making firm of the heart, is the opposite of the condition of Qahr Jabbari, the force of compulsion which we described yesterday. When a person chooses the path of guidance and he becomes firm in obedience to Allah Most High and the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Most High blesses his heart with firm conviction and his iman with steadfastness. Consequently, he is protected against deviation and misguidance. This condition of the heart is known as Rabtul Qalb, the binding or making firm of the heart. Hadith makes reference to the Muslims who participated in the Battle of Badr from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And a statement of Allah Most High is quoted in that hadith. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ, that do after this day whatever you like, because I've already forgiven you. And this was actually something that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically actioned as well. Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu actually had a moment of weak faith. He wavered in his faith when he knew of the plans of the Muslims to conquer Makkah on the day of the Fath, Makkah Mukarrama. And because he was afraid for his son, he had a son that lived there, that he was afraid the mushrikeen would harm him. And so in his moment of weakness, he actually thought if he informed them of the plan to conquer Makkah, they would somehow spare his son. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed of this through wahi, through revelation. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who actually intercepted that message when it went out. There was a woman who had it tied in her hair. It was being smuggled out of Medina, and he intercepted her, and he received very, very clear instructions from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to how this message is going to be smuggled out. So he said to the woman, he says, I know you're carrying something that you're not supposed to be carrying, so either give it to me yourself, or you're going to suffer the humiliation of it being searched and found from you. And so she herself then took it out and gave it to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the point of mentioning the story is what? Is that despite that, what would have been treason and considered treachery in another circumstance, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pardoned Hatib for that. Why? Because he was one of those people who was there on the day of Badr. And the day of Badr, Allah ta'ala said to those people who were there, that do whatever you want to after this day, you're already forgiven. You're clear with Allah ta'ala, you're clear. And so the condition of Rabt, which he is describing, is somehow, he's coupled with this kafiyah, or this condition of being accepted and forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that cannot be shaken. So you see how it's the mere opposite of the discussion that we had yesterday, for those of you who were there yesterday or heard yesterday's discussion, which is the opposite was what? That a person rejects until they completely killed their heart, and then afterward every proof in the book is not going to be able to convince them of the truth, and it's, their heart is going to be it's going to have a barrier on it that is impermeable to any sort of benefit. So this is the other way around. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't punish him, and he quoted this statement with regards to the Battle of Badr, which he made previously, and the statement of Allah Ta'ala regarding the forgiveness of those people. There's another slightly more almost a very interesting, at any rate, application of this statement of do whatever you wish that I've forgiven you, in which one of the Ansari Sahaba radiallahu anhu came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu during his khilafah, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu offered him some nabidh, some like soaked grape drink or date drink. And unbeknownst to anyone who was there, the nabidh had been sitting out for too long, and it actually had become intoxicating, and it must have been a hot day or something. So the Ansari radiallahu anhu, he drank the entire nabidh very quickly, and then it became plain to all those in the majlis that he's a little bit tipsy. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, I recognize this is a very unfortunate situation. Nobody did this on purpose, but I'm the Amir al-Mu'mineen and you're drunk, and I'm going to have to flog you. And so he said, oh, hold on a second. He said, don't you know I was there at the Day of Badr, and Allah Ta'ala said about the people who were there in the Day of Badr, do whatever you wish, I've forgiven you. And this is also the quick-wittedness of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He says, yes, I know. I was there at Badr as well. Allah will forgive me too. So he says, this statement makes reference to the same condition of the heart as described above. It means I have caused your hearts to incline toward me. I have filled your hearts with love for virtue and devastation of evil. Which is not very politically correct, but the haq is the haq, so you know, what are you going to do about it? Now you cannot even go toward evil. And this is, you know, this is one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ, when he asked, even Hatib, he asked, why did you do it? Hatib didn't do it out of treachery or love of the dunya or any of those things. It was itself a good intention, but it was misplaced. The good intention was what? That he wanted to protect his son from harm, which is what every father wants to do for his child. But it was misplaced in that place. So Allah Ta'ala, and these are hidden inside of the hearts. Without the benefit of Nubuwa, we can't tell these things in the hearts of people. So we're obliged to judge by the vahir, what's apparent outwardly. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had an insight. He knew this, that he wasn't doing it out of love of evil. Wal-iyadu billah. Several verses of the Quran make reference to this condition. Allah Most High says with regards to the youth of the Kahf, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَٰهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَا. It says that we put this condition of rabt on their hearts. We strengthened, we made firm their hearts, meaning we put their hearts into this condition of rabt, which is being described, so that when they stood, they said, our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We will never call upon anyone less than him as a god. If we did, we would have done something that exceeds the bounds of reason. Rabt al-qalb, this condition of rabt on the heart, is actually the fourth level of hidayah. And so he describes four levels of guidance that are discerned from the texts of the kitab and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first one is inaba, which is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to abandon stubbornness and obstinacy and search for guidance. Guidance is only given to those who have the yearning to turn to Allah Most High. Abandoning stubbornness and obstinacy is what? It means that you have to entertain the possibility inside your heart that you may be wrong. That's really hard to do. It's really hard to do. But you have to be able to entertain the possibility inside of your heart that you might be wrong. And it's really painful for people. But I suggest, whether it's, you know, no matter how hard it is, that a person become friends with it. Because until you can do that, none of this path will open up to you. And he mentions, actually, there's There's an entire section later on in the book, which is, I believe, a quote from a book of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, the subheading of which is, those who have abandoned fanaticism should be congratulated. Those who have abandoned fanaticism should be congratulated. Why? Because once you've made the decision that I'm completely right and everything else is completely wrong, the door for any sort of benefit, learning, progress, it's completely closed. And there are very few things that a person should have this this level of conviction for, and they all have to do with things that are, impossible, that there cannot be a second God, 2 + 2 cannot equal 5. You should have a very, as long as we're working in like whatever base 10, you should have like a firm conviction about these things. You shouldn't be one of those people that someone can hold up 2 fingers and say, look, I'm holding up 3 fingers and the emperor, his clothes are wonderful. Those types of things, a person, may have some firm conviction with regards to. Even then, oftentimes it doesn't hurt to think about something at least once. This is what inaba is, to turn to Allah Ta'ala and abandon stubbornness and obstinacy in the search of guidance. Allah Ta'ala says in his book, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ, that his guidance is only going to be vouchsafed to those people who turn to him in abandonment of obstinacy and in search of guidance, who turn to him in repentance. The second, he says, is the hidayah, which is the guidance, which is the consequence of turning to him. Hidayah, to find the straight path, this is acquired after turning to Allah Most High. The third is istiqamah. After guidance comes, then a person seeks steadfastness. When a person begins to tread the straight path in accordance to Allah's guidance, Allah Most High confirms him with steadfastness. Reference to this is made in the following verse: "Innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqamu tatanazzalu alayhim al malaika ila akhir al ayah." That surely those who say our Lord is Allah, and then they remain steadfast therein, that they turn to Allah in repentance, and then Allah shows them the path, and then they're steadfast in following the path, they're not fickle. And the fourth is the Rabtul Qalb, that after steadfastness on the path of guidance, a person acquires the level of Rabtul Qalb, that their heart is made firm. This is the highest level of iman and conviction. If a person acquires it, there is no force in this world that can cause him to give up iman and Islam other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This level can never be reached without Allah's guidance and without complete following of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continues with a small discussion with regards to inaba, the first level of guidance, which is turning to Allah ta'ala. He says, after studying the Quran, we learn that the issue of tawheed, of Allah's oneness, is only understood when there is no stubbornness, obstinacy, or fanaticism in the heart, and a person has an inclination toward the truth. The following verses of the Book of Allah Ta'ala bear testimony to this: وَمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Nobody will take this remembrance, nobody will take this dhikr, except for the one who turns to Allah Ta'ala in repentance. In other words, none accepts the issue of Allah's oneness or benefits from it, except for the one who has the quality of inaba, of returning to Allah and turning back to Allah in his heart, and has no obstinacy in him. This is supported by the following verse of Surah Qaf: إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. In this is a dhikra, a remembrance and a contemplation for he who has a heart and listens attentively. That a person, when they listen attentively, meaning they feel like they might benefit something from something. They don't come to it with the attitude of, I already know. هَذَا مَا تُوَعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ مَنْ خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. This is what you have been promised to everyone who remained penitent, keeping the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, who feared the merciful without having seen him, and came to him with a penitent heart. And here it says, وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ. Right, the word inaba is again referenced, that the person comes to Allah Ta'ala with a heart which turns to Allah Ta'ala in the mode of seeking. Not like, I know what's up, but Ya Allah, you tell me, you show me, I need from you. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ. Allah Ta'ala says in his book, say, Allah leads astray or allows to go astray whoever He wills and guides to Himself the one who turns to Him. The one who turns to Him. Again, the inaba is mentioned. This is supported by the following verse. هذا بلاغ للناس ولينذروا به وليعلموا أنما هو إله واحد وليذكر أولو الألباب. He said, this is a message to mankind so that they may be warned by it and so that they may know that He alone is one Allah and that the intelligent ones may reflect. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha'u wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. Allah chooses for Himself whoever He wills. Meaning the ranks of the elect and the select, who is the person who reaches a high rank of qurb with Allah Ta'ala. That's a choice that you and I don't make, and it's something that you and I can't earn. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. But who makes it with Allah Ta'ala? Like, who's in the camp of the people of guidance? Everybody who comes with repentance. So there are certain ranks with Allah Ta'ala that are not achievable except for through His help, and they're chosen by Him. They're not something that we can earn. They're completely from His fadl and His grace. But everybody who turns to Allah Ta'ala in inaba, Allah Ta'ala will give them guidance. If the same meaning is taken in the words, a guide for the righteous ones, i.e. the Qur'an, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, the Qur'an is a guide for those who have the initial quality of inaba in them. There remains no need for any objections, questions, and answers. فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And so he says this is, you know, he made a statement and he backs it up with the text of the Quran, that this is the fitra, the natural disposition that Allah Ta'ala had created mankind on. And there is no way that you can alter the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the system that He made for it. He says that's the upright deen, but most people, they don't know. Munibina ilayhi, the ones that turn to Him, the ones who turn to Him in repentance, and fear Him, and establish the prayer. He says, Munibina ilayhi, those are the ones who turn to Him in repentance. So fear Him and establish the prayer and don't be amongst those who associate partners with Him. We learn from the above verse that the issue of Tawheed is understood only by those who have had their hearts had in their hearts the quality of turning toward the truth. As for those who are bent on their polytheistic beliefs or accept Tawheed in theory but don't express it, they are unable to understand the reality of this issue. And this is a discussion that we had from before, that this is the point of Ma'rifah, of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the knowledge is necessary to have inside the head as well. And so that's why we study the Sharia, and it's necessary to study the Sharia. Because you have to know what Allah wants from you. The slave, the servant has to know what the instructions are in order to carry it out. The point of the ilm is what? Is to know the knowledge in the head. The point of the ma'rifah in the heart is what? Is to be convinced that it's the truth. You can know all the information in your head, but if you're not convinced that it's the truth, not only will you not carry out those instructions, you won't even be able to carry out those instructions. That ma'rifah, that recognition of Allah Ta'ala inside the heart, is a necessary ingredient from the ingredients that are needed in order for a person to be able to cook up the condition in their heart to be able to carry out the Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. May He give us the words that we need to say and the actions that we need to do and the states inside the heart that we need in order to get those things done before we meet Him. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.